Here begins the second episode of my conversation with S.P. Sahu, Senior Trade Facilitation Specialist at the World Bank.
Understood, S.P. As you've said, digitalization of trade is a part of your professional skill set, part of your professional competence. And you've also been active in promoting the WCO data model. Could you explain what a data model is and why it's important to have it defined at a global WCO level?
A data model is essentially a structured framework that allows data to be stored, managed, and exchanged in an organized manner. Like, it's ensuring that all of the computers that are engaged in international trade speak the same language and exchange and understand the data in the same way. Otherwise, the data exchange becomes meaningless. Now, you might imagine that, you know, the different computer systems developed in different geographies will treat trade data in very different ways. However, since the early 80s, the global institutions, particularly the UN and the WCO, came together to standardize the information that computers capture from the trade and computers generate for the trade, and that for computers to talk to one another, there needs to be a common language, and that's what a data model is all about. And the World Customs Organization actually developed its data model in consultation with not only customs and other government agencies, but a range of traders, trade associations, and other international organizations, and produced what is essentially a standardized set of information that is standardized globally. Data typically is generated in the country where the goods originate, and then they move on the transport systems, and then the goods move to the final destination. And the data involved in the trade transaction, the transport transaction, and the regulatory aspects, all of them need to be standardized and harmonized. And unless they are harmonized, there could be multiple problems and burdens of, you know, retyping of data, translating of data, etc. And all of those add to costs. From a single window perspective, when we spoke about the WTO TFA and single window, all of the trade-related information and documentation can be submitted at one point, which means that you need a template to harmonize the information that the single window receives. And here, the data model plays a super important role. It allows for the efficient sharing of data among all the relevant government agencies. And this dramatically simplifies and speeds up the import and export processes, and thereby it reduces costs and time for the trade. So you can understand, therefore, that the WCO data model, although it's a very technical thing, is a key instrument in promoting the speed and efficiency of trade by joining up IT systems that deal with international trade at a global level.
Fascinating, S.P. You speak of speed and efficiency and harmonization and standardization, and these seem to be kind of key themes of earlier work that you did. Could you tell me a bit about this experience from your perspective and how you went about implementing this single window?
Right, Tom. That was back when I was working with the government of India and working on the single window project in India was indeed a highlight in my career. And this project, the aim was to streamline trade-related processes and actually required strong collaboration between multiple government agencies and also close association of the trade and industry associations. So with the help of these partnerships, the project was driven through an implementation process with guidance from the highest levels in the government, and that really facilitated the whole process. Now, the single window was launched, but that was not a stop to the improvements that were set. In fact, the single window project itself laid the groundwork for a series of improvements that that took off from there, and there were many hands that played a part. The crucial thing is that single window is not a one and done project. It actually evolves over a period of time with new features added periodically to ensure that the system remains responsive to the changing needs of the government and the business, and keeping trade facilitation objectives at the forefront. And my colleagues back in India have taken the single window further ahead with many more features added to it, Tom.
SP, could you say a few words about the single window's functionality and its value for business and trade in India, as well as its value for the trade supporting bodies?
And the core functionality of the single window actually is based on some principles that the declaration should be integrated. There should be a single declaration for border release instead of, you know, paperwork being submitted separately to different regulatory agencies. And then also in terms of improving the predictability, ensuring that the goods don't get examined multiple times, the processes of clearance by agencies happen online and seamlessly, and that risk management system that applied not just from a customs perspective, but also on behalf of all of the agencies that participate in international trade, all of those things were part of that system. But that was India. But in general, I can confirm that it has also been our experience in other countries where we help implement single windows from a World Bank perspective. I mean, this approach of a single window has yielded tremendous benefit in terms of predictability and efficiencies, and that the system itself determines which clearances are needed and which agencies need to play a role in that particular trade transaction. This takes a load off of the traders, and it reduces the errors that can arise out of not knowing what clearances are required. Clearances granted at a single point, you know, eliminate the need for traders, as I mentioned, to go to multiple agencies, and that is sheer waste of time, which is actually avoided. I can add that apart from simplifying trade transactions, what is less well known is also the benefit that single windows have in terms of strengthening the controls that the government needs to put in place. So there are different laws and regulations that require different clearances. Before a single window is implemented, the officials actually eyeball the paperwork and determine which all clearances are required. And they could know very well, but could also make mistakes. When the single window process is implemented, the process is driven by business rules that are coded into the system. And the system itself makes sure that all of the regulatory controls that are needed are actually delivered, implemented before clearance is given. So this is very, very important from a control perspective. So single windows are really great, but they deal with only the regulatory part. And I must add at this point that there are other systems that the traders need to work with to get goods cleared across borders. Now, I can give a few examples of those systems. For example, the port community systems, or on the airport side, the air cargo community systems, they play a significant role from a business-to-business perspective. You can imagine the kind of, you know, collaboration needed for goods to be cleared from a port. It's not as though, you know, I just take my truck whenever I want and then take my cargo off of the container yard or of the cargo terminal at an airport. It requires tremendous coordination between the various actors involved, the logistics service providers, the port or the airport terminal operators, the truckers who need to actually physically carry the goods, the cargo carriers like the airlines and the shipping lines who bring the cargo, the terminal operators who handle the cargo at the terminal, the customs brokers who actually file the paperwork. Now, all of these are independent agencies and have their independent processes, checks, controls, that need to be, you know, all organized. And the port community systems and the air cargo community systems play a very important and complementary role in clearing goods at the border. I mentioned previously that it takes tremendous coordination among agencies to ensure that the digitalization is complete and end-to-end. And you need all of these systems to be in place. And it's really a teamwork among systems to make it happen, Tom.
We've mentioned at various points in our conversation so far three key topics: trade facilitation, the customs data model, and single window. Do you see these as something for advanced economies only, or do you think they have a value for emerging and developing economies and for all countries?
No, I mean, I firmly believe that these three topics, as you mentioned, they're in fact tools to promote trade facilitation, and they hold significant value for all kinds of economies, be they advanced or emerging. These are universal truths, and therefore they find a place in the WTO, TFA, and the other international instruments. And they all are aimed at efficiency and transparency. In fact, I would go further, a step further, to argue that they are beneficial, more beneficial to small countries and developing economies, because they are otherwise burdened with legacy inefficiencies arising from their state of development. By simplifying and streamlining trade procedures, they can make it easier for countries to integrate with global trade networks, and that can, you know, act as a fillip to the growth of their economies.
That's a very important point. That some of the technologies we're talking about, they sound sort of space-aged and advanced, but they are arguably even more valuable for developing countries and emerging economies than they are for developed countries. Broadly speaking, jump a little bit here. Broadly speaking, what is the World Bank's role in fostering customs innovation? I mean, helping to discover and apply new technologies, data tools, and management approaches?
That's a very good question. In fact, innovation is one of World Bank's core values. We encourage the learning and adaptation to find better ways of doing things. So it plays a vital role in fostering innovation by providing both technical and financial support to countries to help discover and implement new technologies. We, of course, have a very strong method of evaluation of projects. We do proper technical evaluations, but we do encourage modern approaches, including modern management approaches. Furthermore, what we do is that we encourage knowledge sharing, which means that once something is discovered, we have these peer-to-peer contact programs which allow for sharing of innovation and good practices globally.
Obviously, for this project, PEN-CP, and for other large-scale multidisciplinary EU Horizon projects, knowledge sharing, creating of platforms for sharing of knowledge, is fundamental to their mission. Are there how important do you think these multidisciplinary projects like PEN-CP, Parsec, Melchior are in the process of creating a knowledge sharing and innovation centric environment? And are there other EU customs innovation projects that you're aware of? How do you see the value of such projects?
Tom, I mentioned that, you know, the World Bank Group is dedicated to the learning and adapting and innovation, and innovation is one of our core values. We not only learn from our own projects, which means once a project is implemented, there are lessons learned to be shared and distributed, and we have dissemination events that allow us to, you know, share the information that we gain from our own projects, but also our analytical studies. And we share innovative ideas globally, but also we keep a close eye and a close watch on innovation and innovative developments that are relevant globally. And you mentioned EU. The EU most notably has been pioneering in this space with a series of research projects. And the research projects go for over 15 years, I think, that are aimed solely at the supply chain management process. And that includes, you know, research projects on data pipelines, track and trace methodologies, smart containers, and all other kinds of innovations. And it has been singularly successful in bringing multidisciplinary teams around these themes, where leading universities in Europe, particularly from the Netherlands, from France, from Germany, they have been participating in these programs to produce new knowledge products. And those knowledge products have been super useful and inspiring in promoting innovation. And we are looking very hopefully to at their latest venture under the EU Horizons project. It's called the Epicenter project, and that it's one of those where there's a lot of freight automation and freight synchronization and freight optimization that is being studied, and such initiatives fuel the evolution of customs operations, particularly innovations around digitalization, interconnectivity, and resilience of the global trade ecosystem.
Again, the ways in which these your work, your background, your current work, and these different knowledge sharing platforms interact or should be interacting is a very exciting prospect. The customs mission is often described, and we've talked a lot about facilitation, but the customs mission is often described as a delicate balance between facilitation and control, or ensuring that harmful goods don't cross borders, while at the same time ensuring the facilitation of global commerce. What are the best ways to strike this balance according to the thinking of the World Bank? And what are the key roles that the World Bank plays in this balancing act?
So, I mean, it's a dual mission for customs, control and facilitation. And there's a delicate balance to strike. And it's for the countries to strike that balance. Control is more important from the perspective of protecting security, protecting health, environment, and so forth. But facilitation is also important, and control objectives can be achieved by also promoting facilitation, and the two go hand in hand. And the more customs administrations realize, the better it is. And in terms of the World Bank's approach, efficient customs performances often linked to improved enforcement capability. And that makes trade safer and smoother for all parties involved. To strike a balance between the two, we offer a variety of assistance measures. We fund the acquisition of advanced technologies such as X-ray scanners, handheld devices for chemical detection, also radiation detection, and many other devices that can dramatically improve speed of processing, but also enhance the customs ability to detect harmful goods. In addition, what I can say is that we support a range of border management initiatives by helping countries acquire and put in place equipment at the border crossing points to enable customs controls through what are called technical means of customs control, TMCC, as they call it at the WCO. So these are all equipment that help customs officers perform their job better and faster. So we also help customs administrations set up remote control centers. I spoke about digitalization as a comprehensive process. Now, all of those things that customs officials deal with at the borders, they're now getting digitalized. Not only you have digital versions of the documentation, but also the digital twins of all of the technical equipment involved, the X-rays, you use CCTV cameras, number plate recognition readers, and you have digitalized technical equipment that can bring back all of the data that you need to remote facilities, so that you don't crowd in the control centers, but maintain strict controls based on the virtual information that you have. So we help countries set up those kind of centers. Now, there's a very interesting concept called the targeting center, which customs administrations are increasingly building these remote situation center-oriented facilities, where there are, you know, these large video walls and screens that constantly, you know, receive information from the field officers, and then they can take a strategic view of controls that they need to implement on the ground that are tied up very strongly to the risk management systems. These are called targeting centers. It began with many advanced countries, but increasingly developing countries are also implementing them, and the World Bank is in a position to provide cutting-edge assistance to countries to implement these kind of measures. And when we talk about the delicate balance between enforcement or control and facilitation, these are some of the tools and know-how that can help ensure achieve this kind of balance that I spoke about.
This concludes the second episode of my conversation with S.P. Sahu, Senior Trade Facilitation Specialist at the World Bank. Tune in next week for the third and final episode of our conversation. Thank you.